Today's daf is Chagiga Daf Chof Gimel, and we are 22 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis Va'atfila Loi Mehemni. Today's daf is being learnt Le'ilu Nishmas Shlomo Ben Yibad L'Chaim Toivim Reb Chaim Doiv, and as a Schus Refu Shalom of Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Bas Yehudas Rachel, Elazar Lipa Shalom Ben Fager Rachel, Baruch Ben Rachel, Pinya Gittel Bas Rachel Shendel, Yitzchak Yosef Ben Esther, Naftali Ben Chana, Ezra Avram Ben Zahava Mariam Gittel, and Esther Kreindel Bas Devorah. Today's daf also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Chana Bas Meir Yitzchak. So we're moving along in the final dafin of Masechtes Chagiga, the final dafin of Seder Moed, which deal very, very much with the very nuanced intricacies of the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Specifically, we've been discussing the Mishnah, which mentions different chumras that Kachim has over Truma in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. We're still discussing the first of the many chumras that were mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is Shematbilim Kelim Toich Kelim L'Truma Avaloi V'Kodesh. If somebody wants to be Toivol to Kelim, he puts one inside the other. Can he do it or can he not do it? Says the Mishnah, L'Truma he can, L'Kodesh, however, he cannot. And the Gemara mentioned a machloikis between Rav Eila and Rava. Why is it that ein matbilim kelim b'toich kelim l'truma? Rav Eila said it's because we're worried that the inner keli is going to be pressing its weight on the outer keli. The area where the two kelim join is going to be so tightly combined that water is not going to be able to seep through. It's going to render a chatzitza, and as a result, you will not be able to properly be toivel the inner keli or the outer keli. Rava said this has nothing to do with chatzitza, but rather it's gzeirah shalayatbel machtem v'tzinoiris b'klish ein b'pivkish v'yferes anoid. Ordinarily, for a person to be toivel keli b'toich keli wouldn't be a problem. However, there is a scenario where it would be a problem, and that is in the event that the outer keli had such a narrow opening that it was not even as wide as the opening of a shvayferes anoid. In that case, we look at that keli as if it's closed off. Any keli that's inside it will be viewed to be in the keli, but not in the greater mikvah that the kelim are in. And as a result, the tefillah is not going to be a good tefillah. So, enachanami, if you would be matbal kelim b'toich kelim with a regular keli, it wouldn't be an issue. The only time it's an issue is in that instance. According to Rav Eila, it's related to a chatzitza problem. According to Rava, it's based on this gzeira. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, and that is that if there are legitimate reasons to say ein matbilim kelim b'toich kelim, so why is it that it's only for Kodesh that ein matbilim kelim b'toich kelim? Why is it that for Truma it's not a problem? And the Gemara gave a very interesting answer. The Gemara said, because really, the gzeiris should not be necessary. Why? Because the gzeiris are meant to prevent a person from not doing something that he's not supposed to do. And the reason Chazal often instituted gzeiris is because the reality is that there's always concerns that if you're going to do something, you may not do it right. You can have a mitzvah to read the Megillah on Shabbos. You may carry a Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim. But there's always a select group of Yidden that we're not really worried are going to be nichshol in these gzeiris. The problem is that halacha wasn't only given to a select few. The halacha was given for everybody. When it comes to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, that's not the case. And the reason that's not the case is because when it comes to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, who's really Nizr in Tumah V'Tahara? Only the Chaverim, only the Tamid HaChamim, only the most chashiv of Klal Yisrael. Those people were not really worried that if they're matbal keli b'toich keli, they're going to end up with a chatzitza problem. Those people were not worried that if you tell them you can be matbal keli b'toich keli, they may think you could even do it in a keli she'im b'piv k'shveferes anoy. And for that reason, Chazal felt that when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, I don't really think we should make an issue. The only time they did impose the issue was by Kachim. And the reason they imposed it by Kachim was because they were concerned that an Amaretz might see what the Chavar is doing. And when the Amaretz sees what the Chavar is doing, he may do the same thing. And when he does it, he's not going to be careful. And therefore, we need to impose the Gzeira because we're afraid that the Amaretz might do it. So the Gemara said, I understand. If you're afraid the Amaretz is going to do it, So then you should always be afraid the Am Haaretz is going to do it. So the Gemara says, no, we're not always afraid because it's never going to really impact us. Because if an Am Haaretz ever gives a Chavar Truma, he's going to know not to take the Truma. If an Am Haaretz gives a Chavar Chulin, he's not even taking the Chulin. Therefore, if the Am Haaretz makes a mistake in his tefillah, he decides he wants to be Toivel and he's Toivel the wrong way, it's only going to affect the Am Haaretz, who's Becheskes Tomei anyway. So really, it has no practical ramifications on bearings on Upkehit and Yidin. The only time the Am Haaretz's negligence in Tumah V'Taira may actually affect the Chaver is by Kachim. And the reason is because Mishum Eva, we always accepted Kachim, even from Amei Haaretz. And it's for that reason, we don't ever want to show any leniency when it comes to Toivling Kalim and Kachim, because we're afraid the Am Haaretz might do it. When the Am Haaretz does it, that's where there's going to be the Gzeira, Mishum Chatzitzo, that's where you're going to have the Gzeira Shloyatbo, Machtim and Tzinoiz, Beklicha, Impipifkish, Shveiferes, Anoit. That could impact us, and as a result, we are going to have a problem. But the Gemaras had one issue, and that is, you're telling me that it's only by Kachim that this would ever be a problem. Why? Because Kachim, Mishum Eva, we have no choice but to accept from an Am Haaretz. But if we're toiveling Kalim for anything other than Kachim, it's never going to affect the Chaver. Because the Chaver's not taking his Chulin, he's not taking his Ma'aseh Sheni, he's not taking his Truma. As a result, it's never going to be an issue. But the Gemara says it's not true. He may take his Kalim. It's Kalim he may take. And we have a Mishnah, a very complex halacha, machloikis, between Beishamai and Beisilil and a Maisa with Rabbi Yeshua and a Talmud of Beishamai that we're going to revisit during the raid, where you see clearly that the minig was that the Chaverim used to be Toivel Kalim from Amei Haaretz. So if they used to borrow Kalim from Amei Haaretz. So if they used to borrow Kalim from Amei Haaretz, why are you afraid that the Am Haaretz is going to have a Kalim that's Tommy? He's going to be Toivel it. He's going to be Matpel Kalim B'toich Kalim. He's not going to do it in the proper way. It's going to come out that the Chaver was taking a Kalim that was Tommy. So the Gemara says it's not a problem anyways, because it's true the minig was that the Chaverim would borrow Kalim from Amei Haaretz. But when a Chaver ever borrowed a Kalim from Amei Haaretz, the first thing he would do, he would find a mikvah, he would toivel it, and only afterwards did he use it. So being that he's going to be toiveling it anyways, that's not going to be a problem. So when it comes to anything other than kachim, even if the Am Haaretz observes what the chaver is doing, and he himself messes up, it doesn't really affect anybody. His food we're not taking, his kalim will borrow, but we're going to be toivel. It's not going to be a problem. The only time it's a problem is by kachim. And being that by kachim it's a problem, therefore Chazal made a takana, ein ma'pilim kelim b'toich kelim l'kodesh. Why? Because of gzeira. I thought we're dealing with a chaver, and for a chaver you don't have to make the gzeira v'araya. If you did, you'd make it by truma also. It's not for the chaver, it's for the Am Haaretz that might be watching what the chaver is doing. Either way, the Gemara begins really on this point, and that is with a subtle diak. The diak is, it sounds like that in order to make everything we just said work, and we said a lot, we need to establish that if a chaver is going to borrow a keli from an Am Haaretz, the first thing he's going to do is going to be toivel the keli. Says the Gemara, it's mashma that if the chaver would ask the Am Haaretz, did you toivel this keli? Yes, we wouldn't believe him. Where is it mashma? Because the Gemara's lashon was that whenever the chaver takes the keli from the Am Haaretz, he himself is always toiveling. And because the Gemara said he is toiveling, it sounds like it doesn't matter what the Am Haaretz tells him, he is going to have to be toiveling. And by the way, we find in different Gemaras that we don't trust the Am Haaretz. Mishnah Yom is learning Masechtas Dmai. What is that predicated on? If you buy pears from the Am Haaretz, you can't trust that he gave Maestris. What if he says, I gave Maestris? He's lying. We don't believe him. Now, it's only a chashash, but still, we see that the Amei Haaretz were chashed when it came to certain things. Things that they didn't take so carefully. So one of the things was Maestris, another thing was Tumah V'Tahira. So says the Gemara, it's mashma that the Chaber himself would have to be toivel the keli, but if the Am Haaretz would tell him that he himself toiveled it, that in and of itself wouldn't be okay. So this is the Gemara. Is that true? Is it true that if the Am Haaretz tells the Chaver that he toiveled the keli, we don't believe V'Tahira, but no Tidabrais, then Manam Amei Haaretz, Al Tahira is Tfilas Tamei Meis, and Am Haaretz is believed to say that he was Tamei Tumas Meis, but he toiveled. You see, we trust the Am Haaretz. Amar Abaye, Abaye said like Kasha, Habi Gufay, Habi Kalev. That price that says the Am Haaretz is believed to say that he was toiveled, that's talking about where he said he was Tomei. I myself just toiveled, then we believe him. Tumas Gufay, we believe him for. However, we're discussing Tumas Kalev, and as it relates to Tumas Kalev, they were not going to believe him. So our sugi is dealing with Kalev. We're dealing with Kalev, we don't trust the Am Haaretz. When we're dealing with its Guf, there we would trust Rabbah. Rabbah said a different test. Idib, Idib, Kalev, that maybe both prices are discussing Kalev, meaning Sometimes an Amoritz is believed to say that he was Tovel Akeli, and sometimes the Amoritz is not believed to say he was Tovel Akeli. Like, Asha, how could that be? It's not fair. Hada Amar mi oilam lo yitbalti kli betoichli. Hada Amar hitbalti avo lo yitbalti bekli she'im bepiv kishvei feres anoy. In short, if the Amoritz says, I was Tovel the Akeli, and I was not Tovel Akeli betoich Akeli, we'll trust him. If, however, he says, I was toivel to Kalim, but I was toivel at Kalim b'toich Kalim, however, I was very careful to make sure I did it in a way where there was no chatzitza, or where it was aimed at piv kishvei feres anoit, it's over there that we're not going to believe him. We trust Amar Oretz to say that he was toivel to Kalim. We don't trust him, however, to say that if he was toivel it in a way where it can go right or it can go wrong, that he did it in the right way. So you have a stira. Do you trust Amar Oretz? Do you not trust Amar Oretz? If he simply says, I was toivel to Kalim, we're going to trust him. If he says, I was toivel it in this controversial way, in this way where it may be a problem, if he didn't pay close attention, we're not going to trust him to say he did it in the right way. Vatanya, and the Gemara says, we have a braisa, this Vatanya is benichusa, that supports this point. An Amaretz is believed to say, on peiros, that they never became wet, and as a result, they were never huchshu l'kabal tuma. Aval enoi nemen loyme, but Amaretz is not believed to say, peiros huchshu, they were huchshu l'kabal tuma, aval loy nitmu, but they never became tummy. So you see that, if the Amoritz is making a more general statement, that we could accept. But once he starts getting a little bit more nuanced, he says, Peiros huchshu, really they were huchshu l'kabal tuma. Avaloi nitmu, they never became tummy, that much we're not going to believe him, says the Gemara. So again, we have two terutzim to answer this kasha. From our sugya, from Amud Aleph, from yesterday's daf, from the recap, it was mashma that we don't trust Amoritz to say that I toivel the keli. Yet we have a mefurish b'raisa that says, Nemonim ami Yoritz al tairas tfilas tamei meis, that we do trust him. What were the two terutzim? Abaya said, like Kasha Haba Gufay Haba Kalev. Rava said, it depends on how nuanced he is saying. But according to Abaya, what the Gemara says is that he's not believed to say his Kalim, he teufeled. But his Guf, he is believed. You're telling me that Amaretz is believed when it comes to Tairas HaGuf? Vatanya, we learned to the Brayis, a Chavr Shabalahazois, a Chavr that comes to Bezdin. He comes to the Kayhanim. He comes to the ones that were in charge of the Paraduma. He says, I was Tomei Tomas Meis, and I would like you to please sprinkle on me from the ashes of the Parah Adumah from the Mechatas. So the Braisa says, Mazen Ol Miyad. We trust him. Amma'oritz Shabala Bahasais. But an Amma'oritz that comes and says the same thing, Ein Mazen Olav, we don't do it right away. At Sheyasa Befanenu Shlisha Veshvim. We have to wait 3 days and then 7 days before we sprinkle it. The halacha is that if someone was Tomei Tomas Meis, in order for him to become Tar, he had to be sprinkled on from the Parah Adumah. However, not right away. It says in the Torah, when did it happen? Bayoy mashlishi ubayoy mashvi. So here's the question. If somebody comes and he says, I became Tomei Tomas Meis, I would like you to please sprinkle me with the ashes of the Parah Adumah. It's like this, I'm going to have Tahira. He says, okay, when did you become Tomei? He says, oh, today's day three. If he's a Chavr, we believe him. If he's an Amaretz, in the spirit of not trusting the Amaretz once upon a time, then we would not believe him. So what do you see from here? You see that we don't trust Amaretz to say it's day three, but rather, Yase b'faneinu shlishi v'shvi. We have to wait until he, in front of us, waits out this time. It's like this, we know for sure. So Abai is telling me, we trust Amaretz to say that he was Tomei Tomas Meis, and it's a getoivot in the mikvah. Yet, we don't even trust him to say that it's day three for the Azov, the Paradumo, when it comes to sprinkle the ashes on him. Amar Abaya, take out the word Elos. Abaya said, no, it's not a stira. In fact, the two halachas and ideas actually complement each other. The reason I hold we trust Amaretz to say that he toiveled from Tumas Meis is precisely because we don't trust him when it comes to day 3 and day 7 and when it comes to some of the nuances of the Hazah and the Tahira of Tumas Meis. Meaning, being that when the Amaretz comes and he says, I became Tomei Tumas Meis, please sprinkle, we tell him, listen, I don't know when you became Tomei, I know we don't trust you. As a result, you're going to have to stay here. Literally, Shivas Yamin, we're going to lock him up and we're going to wait until day 3 and then he's going to have to wait again on a day 7. Because we're so not trusting him, when it comes L'maisa, day 7, he's going to go to the mikveh, he's going to make sure he has tahira, he's going to make sure he can prove it because he doesn't want to have to go through this again. So, because we made it so difficult for him in the beginning, it's for that reason he called to Allah B'Soifah, therefore we are going to believe him. But what's the bottom line? From our sugya, it seemed to emerge that we don't trust Amaretz to say that he Toivol Kalim. Aye, we have a braisa that says that we trust Amoritz to say that there was Tumas Meis and now there was Tahiro. We have two terutzim. We have a bias teretz, loy kasha hobi gufa, hobi kalim. For the kalim we don't trust, but for gufa we do trust. We have Rav's teretz, idiv kalim. It depends on what he said. If he said that I toivled Yeah, we'll trust him. But if he says it was kli b'toich kli, and I was very careful to make sure that the outer kli didn't have a piv kishveferes, once he starts getting into all this nuance and all this detail, at that point we're not going to trust him anymore. And this concludes the very, very first part of the Mishnah, the first of the either 10 or 11 chumras that Kachim has over Truma as it relates to the laws of Tumah v'Taira, and that is Matpilim Kelim Tach Kelim L'Truma Avoloi L'Kodesh. So moving on to number 2. The next ones move quicker. So the second one was Achirayim V'Toich U'Beis HaTzvita B'Truma Avoloi B'Kodesh. Achirayim, the back of the Keli, V'Toich, the inside of the Keli, Beis HaTzvita, the Gemara is going to clarify what that is in a moment, are considered separate entities of a keli as it relates to truma. Meaning, if one part of the keli becomes tame, it would not render the other part of the keli tame. Avaloi l'kodesh. When it comes to kodesh, then we view them all as being part of the same keli. So the Gemara says like this: Ma achirayim v'toich. What is this halacha? What does this all mean? Kedetanan zok the Gemara. It's a mishnah in the 25th perek of Masechtas Kelim. Keli shenitma achir b'mashkin. If someone has a keli and the back of the keli became tame through mashkin. Now, the significance for our halacha is that tumas mashkin is a unique type of tumah, and it's a tumah derabbanan. Says the Mishnah, if a keli became tame, the back of the keli, tumas mashkin, which means it's only tame midrabbanan, so the halacha is achayr of tameh, the back of the keli is tame. Abatoichay, the inside of the keli, oignoi, the rim of the keli, oznei v'yadav, those are the handles of the keli, tahir ma gonna be tahir. Nitmatoichay, if the inside part of the keli became tame, then the halacha is kulay tame, the whole thing is gonna be tame. But you see that when it comes to tumas mashkin, sometimes we're going to bifurcate the keli, and we're gonna say this part of the keli is lachud, and that part of the keli is lachud. Now, it's true only by Tumas Mashkin. It's true only by Tumah Derabbanan. By Tumah Deraisa, of course, no Shalacha. If the back of the Keli becomes Tame, the bottom of the Keli becomes Tame, the whole Keli is going to become Tame. It's only true by Tumah Derabbanan. Why is it only true by Tumah Derabbanan? Or why would it Derabbanan have made such a Kula? Why wouldn't they say, Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikun? If part of the Keli becomes Tame, let the whole Keli be Tame. So Rashi says that the reason is, and we're not going to go into this, because really, any time you metama something, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you'll say, if I say something is tame, even when it's not tame, it's just a chumrah. So like this, people will know to stay away from it. The problem is, what happens if Truma or Kachem is going to go into this keli? So if the keli was really keli, so now the Truma and the Kachem became Truma and Kachem, that's tame. Truma, Kachem, tame, you treat a certain way. If, however, the keli is really not tame, and now you're putting Truma and Kachem inside of it, so now you're being metame recklessly, something that really isn't tame. And you're going to take Truma, Kachem, that's tar, and you're going to treat it like it's tame. Chas v'shalom, it's not something you're allowed to do. So that's why when it comes to Tumah, it's always something that we need to be sensitive to. So the Rabbanim were very happy to go ahead and be Mois of Tumah, but at the same time, they always wanted it to be clear that there's a distinction between Tumah Deraisa and Tumah Derabbanan, and that's why in the world of Tumah Derabbanan, you find certain leniencies. You find certain kulas. This is a classic example of a kula that you have in the world of Tumah Derabbanan, where ordinarily you would say, oh, one part of the Keli is Tumah, the whole thing is Tommy. When it comes to Tumas Mashkin, which is a sug, Tumah Derabbanan Fakir, Chazal said, this part's Tommy, not that. Why? Lahoidiyachos. Like this, you're going to know that it's only a Tumah Derabbanan, and you'll know how to make the distinction between Tumah Derabbanan and Tumah Deraisa. Okay, so the Mishnah said that the Achirayim and the Toich, that's one halacha, Ubeis HaTzvita. Beis HaTzvita is also a separate entity. My Beis HaTzvita, what does it even mean? Amar Abhila Mashmur, Abhila said the name Mashmur, Mokoim She Tzoiftai. It's the part of the Keli that a person would hold if he's passing over the keli to somebody else. So that's a pasuk in Rus, and it's discussing where Boyas came and gave Rus the keli. So vayitzpat, what did he do? He passed it to her. So you see, the word vayitzpat means to pass. So the beis hatzvita, it's from that shayrish, it means the part of the keli that somebody would hold when he's passing somebody. Vasim Rabbi Yochanan, vasim the name Rabbi Yochanan means something else. Makom shenikiyei Hadas Tzoivim. It's a part of a keli that the Nekiyei Hadas, so Nekiyei Hadas, Rashi says, these are the Istinisim. So these are people that they're Mufunakim, they're an Istinis, they're not just going to eat out of any keli. So they would take, like, dips, Rashi says, mustard or vinegar, and they would have a little compartment inside the keli, that's where they would leave it. So this part of the keli, which is a separate compartment, is considered separate as it relates to the Salah. Rav Bibi said over a brayse in the presence of Rav Nachman, a brayse that is a continuation of this halacha. Kol kelim, all kelim, elam achirayim v'toich. All kelim do not have the halacha of achirayim v'toich, meaning that if the Achirayim became Tomei, the Toich would be Tomei. If the Toich became Tomei, the Achirayim would become Tomei. And this is true, Echad Kotchei HaMikdash, the Echad Kotchei HaGvul. Meaning, it's true only for Kotchim. And it's true from Kotchei Mikdash and for Kotchei HaGvul. Kotchei Mikdash means the Kotchim that's in the base of Mikdash. Kotchei HaGvul means the Kotchim that's outside the base of Mikdash. Amalei, so Rav Nachman told Rabbi, Kotchei HaGvul, my Ninu, what is Kotchei HaGvul? What's an example of Kotchim that has nothing to do with the base of Mikdash? So he told him, Truma. He said, Truma, can't be. But now we learned in the Mishnah, Achirayim v'toch beis hatzvita l'truma. That was the second Chumrah. We said that dafka, when it comes to Kachim, you have this halacha, but when it comes to Truma, the Achirayim and the Toich are not considered the same. So he told him, Dilma l'chun shenasa atayros ha-kodesh kamrit. Maybe Rav Nachman told him that what you really mean is that when you said Kachim Agvul, you didn't mean Truma, because it can't be. Truma, it's not true. The Mishnah said mefurish that we look at them as being separate as it relates to Truma. You know what you're probably talking about when you said Kachim Agvul? You meant chulin shenasa atayros ha-kodesh. Chulin shenasa Atayrus Hakodesh Be'etzim is Chulin. However, although it's Chulin, it's treated like Kachim. That's the Chiddush of Chulin Shenasa Atayrus Hakodesh. So he said, maybe that's what you're referring to. So the Gemara says he told him back. Rabbi told Rav Nachman at Kartan Milsi. Oh, you just reminded me of something that we've seen already twice. Amar Rabbi Baravua Achas Esrimaylus Shonukan. The Mishnah mentioned 11 Chumras that Kachim has over Truma. Sheish Rishayim is the first six. Bein l'chodesh, bein l'chun shenasa atayrus hakodesh. It's true for kodesh and it's true for chun shenasa atayrus hakodesh. Achrayim is the latter five. L'chodesh is true for kodesh. Avaloi l'chun shenasa atayrus hakodesh. It's not true for chun shenasa atayrus hakodesh. So he said, oh, it's very gishmak. The Mishnah said that there's a chumra in kachim. What's the chumra of kachim? That the chirayim, the toich, the beis hatzvita are all considered one big entity as it relates to kachim. It's not true for truma. This was the second of the 11. If it's the second from the 11, it's from the first group. The first group is true even for chul and shenas al tayrus hakodesh. That must be Rabbi's brayso. Kol hakelim ein lamachirayim v'toich echad kachay hamikdash ve'echad kachay hagvul. Kachay hamikdash is referring to real kachim. What's kachay hagvul? That's referring to chul and shenas al tayrus hakodesh. It doesn't mean Truma, because Fakert, the Mishnah says clearly that when it comes to Truma, we look at them as being separate. What does it mean? It means Chulin Shenas Altairus HaKodesh, and if that's the case, it's Ma'od Matim, it stems very well with the idea that we've seen already a few times, that the first Chumras that the Mishnah mentioned are not only true for regular bona fide Kachim, but it's also true for Chulin Shenas Altairus HaKodesh. So moving along, the Mishnah said, the third Chumrah that Kachim has over Truma is Anoises HaMedris. If somebody's carrying a medras, noises a truma, he's also allowed to carry truma. However, loyas hakodesh. But if someone's carrying a medras, he's not going to be able to carry kachim. So number one, what's a medras? So tumas medras is a unique tuma that is conveyed by people that are tame because of tuma that was yoytza migufan. So for example, a Zav, a Zava, a Metzaira, these are people that have the ability to convey Tumas Medras. What is the halacha of Tumas Medras? The halacha of Tumas Medras states that if a Zav or a Zava, for example, would either sit or lie on something that the derech is to sit or lie on, that thing will now become Tomei Tumas Medras, which is an Av HaTumah. So usually, if something comes in contact with a source of Tumah, that becomes now a Toldah of Tumah. A Rishon, a Sheini, a Shlishi, a Revi. But an Av HaTumah is usually something that is in and of itself a source of Tumah. If a Zav would sit on a chair, that chair now becomes Tomei, but not a Rishon LaTumah because it came in contact with a Zav. It actually becomes an Av HaTumah. So that's the Halacha of Medras. For our sugya, what we need to know is that a shoe is a medras. It's a medras. The Zav doesn't sit on it, doesn't lie on it, but walks in it. And that's in and of itself enough for it to be considered a medras. But the bottom line is, that's what Tumas Medras is. The Mishnah says if somebody wants to carry a medras, wants to carry a shoe of a Zav, for example, and he wants to carry Truma, that's not a problem. However, if somebody wants to be Noisei Medras, and at the same time Noisei Kachim, that is going to be an issue. My time alive. What's the reason for this? So the Gemara said, it's because of a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. There was a story that happened, and because of the story, the Chama went and they implemented Allah. There was a person, he was carrying a chavis, a barrel of wine that was kachim. He was taking it from point A from point B. This person was walking, and v'nifsiko ritzua shal sandalai. And then one of his shoelaces tore. Vinatla, so he picked up the shoelace, the hinicha al pi chavis, and he put it on top of the opening of the chavis. Now, it seems that this shoe was a medras hazav, Maybe himself was a Zav, but it was a Medrash Zav, and as a result, this shoelace had a din of Tumas Medrash. Now, as it was on top of the Chavis, the Nafla La'avra Chavis, it fell into the ear space of the Chavis, the Nitmas, and it was Metama, all the Yayin Shel Kacha. Now, from the fact that the story was that it was Metama, the contents of the Chavis, the wine, by being in the ear space of the Chavis, we have another clue in terms of what the story was. Must be this Chavis was made of earthenware. It was made of Klicheres, and that's the halach of Klicheres. Kol asher b'soicho yitma, that anything that falls into the ear space, it's Metamas. But the bottom line is this person had a shoelace that was Tamei Tumas Medrash, and he's also carrying a Chavish al Yayin, and by mistake, the shoelace ends up going inside the ear space of the wine, and he was Metama the wine, which was Kachim, which was always a very, very terrible thing. Amru, Sabaisha Amru, at that time, the Chum got together, and they made a takon, Hanoises a Medrash, Lysis a Truma. If someone's carrying a Medrash, he can carry Truma, Avaloyis a Kodesh, but he can't carry Kodesh. So the Gemara says, I understand. If the reason we made this takono is based on a Maisa Shaya Kachaya, because you see what could happen, what could happen? If someone's carrying Medrash and carrying Kachim at the same time, the medris may end up being the time of the kachim. Yachi truma nami, so you make the same takana for truma. So the Gemara says, "Amani ruchanayim in akavye." I hear it's a good point, but you wonder what the time of our mission is. You know what the author of this takana was? It was Reb Chananya ben Akavya, the Omar, who has a shita that leyasru ela biyardein ubesvina ukemayis hashaya. Now he said regarding an entirely different takana, as we're about to see right now, that when the Chachamim implemented a takana, because of a Maisa Shahaya, they implemented it exactly the way that Maisa Shahaya took place. So the short answer, before we see the long answer, is going to be that being that the Maisa Shahaya Kachaya happened with the Yayin Shel Chavis, that was Kachim. So when they made the Takana, they only made it for Kachim. Meaning, had the Maisa happened with Truma, they would have made it for Truma as well. But the Maisa didn't happen for Truma. It happened on Kachim. Because it happened on Kachim, that's the way it did it. Now you're going to tell me, does it matter if the Maisa happened with Kachim or Truma? Probably not. But in the world of Reb Chananya ben Akavya, it does. Because that's his shita. His shita is that when the Chachamim make takonis because of Maisa Shahayas, they look at the specifics of the Maisa Shahaya, and that's the parameters that they use to implement this takonis. So the Gemara says, Mayhi, what's this Maisa Shahaya with the Yardane? That's the Jordan River, and a Svina, and a boat. What was the story? So the Gemara says, the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Lo Yisa Adam Mechatas. A person's not allowed to carry Mechatas. He's not allowed to carry the water that was used for the to mix with the ashes of the Paraduma and the actual ashes of the Paraduma. And cross the Jordan River on a boat. So if somebody, for whatever reason, had to transport Mechatas or Eferchatas, and he wants to take a ferry across the Jordan River, it's off limits. He can't do it. Another Allah. A person can take a tube that has mechatas or evrachatas in it. He's going to be on one side of the yard, and the yizr came with tzadachan. He's going to throw it across the yard. You can't put it in a tube and let it float across the water. You can't ride on top of a behemoth holding it, or on top of your friend, unless your feet are touching the ground. But if your feet are going to be mid-ear, it's not okay. You're all allowed to carry it on top of a bridge, and you don't have to worry if your feet are touching or not touching. This is true for the Jordan River, it's true for other rivers as well. This halacha that the Tana, the Braisa, just said, all these different ways that you're not allowed to transfer the Mechatas and the Efechatas, is not true in all these different applications. The only time it's a problem is if it's the Jordan River, and the only time it's a problem is if you're doing it on a Svin, if you're doing it on a donkey, if you're doing it on a different type of river, if you're doing it and you're throwing it, that's no shaykhis to this halacha. This halacha was said after the Ayodim Svin. Why? Because this whole takana was based on a Maisa that once happened, and the Maisa that happened on a boat in the Yarden River. So my Maisa, so we're getting closer to the punchline. What was this? There was a person that was carrying mechatas and evichatas in the yarden ubesvina on a boat. So he's on this boat and he's carrying it. And he's so careful. And then when they came to shore, they looked on the bottom of the boat and they found there was a kezayis of a mace that was stuck into the floor of the svina, which was metama, the mechatas and the efrachatas. At that time, the Chum made a takon and they said, Lo Yisa, the mechatas, the efrachatas, the avirin, the yardin, the svina. You should never do anything like this anymore. So Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya said that being that the mace shalya happened with the yardin and the svina, so the takon was only implemented for the yardin and the svina. The Chum said that I hear it happened punct with the Yarden and the Svina, but it could have just easily happened in any other river. It could have easily happened if you want an animal. The practicalities of the story and what the person could have known but didn't know had nothing to do with the fact that it was in the Jordan River and nothing to do with the fact that it was a boat. So any way that you can apply reasonably this takana, we're going to go ahead and we're going to apply. But the bottom line is, you see there's a sheet of Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya who holds that when it comes to implementing takanas based on a Maisa Shehaya, we do it Kim Maisa Shehaya. And that's why that takana was dafka in the Yarden, dafka in the Svina. So coming back to our halacha, being that the reason we said a person shouldn't carry a medris together with Kachim is because of a Maisa Shehaya, and the Maisa Shehaya happened with Kachim, even though it could have just as easily happened with Truma. Just like the Maisa in the Yarden could have easily happened in some other river. But it didn't happen in another river. The Maisa happened in the Jordan. This Maisa, the Maisa happened with Kachim. And being that it happened with Kachim, therefore it's only by Kachim that we have this halacha. So the Gemara says, Ibayalo, Stamashaila. So we're saying that a person is not allowed to carry a medris together with Kachim. So the Gemara says, Sandal Tame, it's for sure a problem. Sandal Tar, Ma'u, what would be the halacha if it's a Sandal Tar? Meaning, when we say that a person can carry a medris, does it mean Dafka is something that's already Tame Tomas medris? Or does it even mean something that could become Tami Tomas Medris? So if a shoe could be Tami Tomas Medris, does it mean Dafka when a Zav already walked in the shoe? Or does it mean even if the Zav didn't walk in the shoe, but being that it's a shoe, and if a Zav would walk in the shoe, it would be Tami Tomas Medris, that in and of itself would be enough. Another child, Chavis Pesucha. For sure, this is a problem if the Chavis is open. That was the Maisa Shaya. The Chavis was open, and then eventually the shoelace ended up in the ear space of the Chavis. But Chavis Tumah, what would be the halacha if it was a Chavis Tumah, if it was closed? Over Venasa Ma, a third Shaila. What happens if a person carried a Medris together with Kachim? He did it already. He wasn't supposed to. He violated the law of the Mishnah, but he did it. What happens to the Kachim? Is the Kachim Tami or is the Kachim Tar? So the Gemara says, as it relates to the last Shaila, Rav Eila Omar, second time we've had Rav Eila in this parak, he said him, Avar v'nasa tameh. Rav Zera Amar, Rav Zera argued with Rav Eila, he said, Avar v'nasa, if a person did it b'dievet, tar, the halacha is, it's going to be tar. So going back to the Mishnah, and moving along with the halachas, where you find chumras in kachim over truma. So we mentioned the first one at length, matbilin kelim b'tachkelim l'truma b'loy l'kaydish. We discussed achirayim the toich and the beis atzvita, whether we look at them as separate entities, we do for Truma, or one entity, that's what we do for Kachim. We just learned the third halacha. Hanoise es ha-medris, noise es ha-truma, avaloy es ha-kaydish, because the time of the Mishnah is b'chanani ben akavya, and it's based on the Maisa Shehaya. So the Gemara is now going to skip. The next one of the Mishnah is big day oichle truma, medris l'kaydish. We're not going to discuss that. Loi kemidas ha-kaydish, midas ha-truma, shabakaydish matu menagavu matfu, v'achak kaydishum truma, v'achak v'achak matfu. You have to untie knots before you toivel for kachim. You have to untie knots before you toivel for truma. That we saw already in the beginning of the parak. The Gemara is going to move to the next chumra in the Mishnah, and that is kelim hanigmarim b'tahira. Someone has a keli. The keli was just finished, and it was finished b'tahira. Tzrich and tefillah l'kodesh. You have to be toivel if you want to use it for kodesh. Avaloy l'truma, but you don't have to be toivel if you're going to want to use it for truma. So the background that we need for this halacha is that a keli is a dover hamekabel toma. That's pasha. Now keli can be a rishon l'toma. It can't. But the point is that a keli is a dover that's mekabel toma. Stating that the only time a keli is mekabel toma is once the keli is nigmar. Once it's a fartig keli. But until the keli's nigmar, the keli itself can't be mekabel toma. So if someone is working on fashioning a keli, and while he's in the process of making this keli, the keli becomes tame, the halacha is it will not be tame. Because a keli is not mekabel toma until it's finished. Just like a fruit is not mekabel toma until it becomes wet, so too a keli is not mekabel toma until it's complete. And by the way, the reason a fruit's not mekabel toma until it's wet is because until it becomes wet, the assumption is it's not really nigmar. It's part of the gmar. But the point is that kelim are not mekabel tuma until they're actually nigmar. So what did the Mishnah say? Kelim had nigmar in b'tahira. If someone had a keli and it was finished b'tahira in a state of purity, tzrich and tefillah l'kodesh. If you want to use the keli for kachim, you have to put it in the mikvah. Avaloy l'truma. If you want to use it for truma, you don't have. So the Gemara says that at first glance, really, this halacha is sarchbir, right? Because if it was completed b'tahira, why would you have to be toivelit before we use it for kachim? So the Gemara is going to work through this. The Gemara, who's the person who is working on this keli that finished it? Either the Gemara chaver is a chaver, a tamud chacham, someone that's nizer in the laws of tuma v'tahira, lama lul tefillah. Why does he have to toivelit? He finished it in a state of tahira because he is a tahir person. And as a result, what's the problem? Now, you're going to tell me maybe before it was completed, an Am Haaretz was using it. But who cares? Before it was completed, the Am Haaretz can do whatever he wants. He has no ability to be Metamet. So the only thing we care about is when it was finished. Why? Because that's the moment that now it could be Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, who's the one that completed it? If it's a Chavah that completed it, then why didn't he feel it? Oh, the Gemara Am Haaretz. So the Am Haaretz did it. So the Gemara says, Nikmarim Betairah Karalu. The Mishnah says it was Nigma Betairah. And Am Haaretz did it. Am Haaretz is Tameh. When he touches the Keli, he was just Metamet the Keli, right? Am Haaretz that touched Keli and Metamet the Keli. So if that's the case, so he wasn't Nigma Betairah. Amar Rabbi Bar Shela, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel. Loyim the Gemara Nuchav. Loyim was talking about where Chavra was the one that finished it. Mishum Tzinoyer, Am Haaretz enough. But we're worried about Tzinoyer, Am Haaretz. We're worried that maybe an Am Haaretz may have spit on the Keli. And if he spit on the Keli, that's going to be a problem. So again, Loyim Chavra is the one that finished it. So it was Nigma Betairah. What are we concerned about? There may be an Am Haaretz spit. The reik of an Am Haaretz is Tomei. And as a result, that's what we're about. But the Gemara says, Amos, when did he do this? Are we concerned that the Am Haaretz might have spit on the Keli before the Keli was finished? Halamonu, at that point, it wasn't of Keli yet. It wasn't Fartig. It's not Mekabel Tumah. So it's not a Kabel Tumah. It's not a problem. Elabas of the Gemara. Elamaik, it happened afterwards. Mizr Zarabu. If a Chav is the one that did it, and you're telling me that it was Nigma B'Tahira, so part of Nigma B'Tahira means nothing happened, and an Am Haaretz never spit on it. So, Lachur, what's going on over here? What's Pashup Shah? And the Gemara is just trying to work this through a little bit. It sounds like we're worried about something. What are we worried about? So the Gemara says, this is what we're worried about. We're worried that even though a Chav is the one that finished making this Keli, but before he finished, while he was in the process of fashioning it, at that point an Am Haaretz went and he spit on this Keli. Okay. Now when the Am Haaretz spit on it, he wasn't Metamed, because it wasn't a Gemar Kli yet. But now when the Chavar finishes the Keli, now it's ready Roy L'Kabel Tumah. And if the Keli is still wet, because of the fact that the Am Haaretz had spit on it previously, so it's going to come out, then now it's going to end up being Tumah. Meaning, even though B'shas Maisa, when the Am Haaretz spit on the Keli, the Am Haaretz didn't have the ability to be Matama the Keli because the Keli wasn't complete yet, but now that the Keli is complete, and it's still wet, and it's wet because it has on its saliva, it has the spittle of the Am Haaretz, so now it's going to be Tame. That's what we're worried about, and that's why the halacha is that even though it's a chash rokik, I mean, let's be honest, what are the odds this happened? Oh, for Kachim, we're going to be chayish. For Truma and everything else, we're not going to be chayish. The Gemara knew this is a Chumran Kachim, but the Gemara said there has to be some rationale. You can't just be a Chumran Devaltarayin every time you just start being toiveling things for Kachim. There has to be some alibi. There has to be some way of explaining what might have happened. You want to know the story? As unthinkable as it might be, this is what happened. The Chavar was the one who finished the Keli. There's a chashash that maybe an Am Haaretz worked on it before it was finished. Maybe he spit on it. Maybe it's a little bit wet. Now that you finished the Keli, it's Roy L'Kabel Tumah. And being that it's Roy L'Kabel Tumah, now you're going to have a problem. Is it a chashash? Rochuk, for sure. And that's why it's only for Kachim that this is something we're chayish for. Zok Gemara. Tila in Herif Shemishla. It sounds like from the Mishnah that if somebody has this Keli, Kelim Hanigmarim B'Tahira, Tzrichim Tfilo L'Kodesh, all you have to do is be Taifala. But you don't have to wait until the sun sets. What does that mean? We know that any person that's Tame, or really anything that's Tame, that's Toivled in a mikvah, the Taira doesn't go into effect until the sun sets. Mishasha Kehanim Nechnasal Nechal V'Trumasan. When are the Kehanim allowed to eat Truma? In the beginning of the night. That's this man Kriyish Mashal Arvas. Why? What if he went to the mikveh during the day? He still could only eat Truma at night. Why? Because he has to wait until nightfall until he's actually going to be taught. From the Mishnah, it sounds a little bit that Kelim HaNigmar B'Tahayra Tzrichim Tfila. It sounds like all you have to do is be Toivel it. But once you Toivel it, that in and of itself is enough. Meaning, Tfila in, Medafobin at Tfila, but Harif Shemesh Loi, Harif Shemesh you don't need. So, Gemara, if that's the case, Masisin like Rabbi Eliezer. It's going to come out that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. So, who's Rabbi Eliezer? So, the Gemara is going to take us now another Tahirus roller coaster. And that is, we're familiar with the idea, because we've had this many times, most recently, very prominently in Masechtas Yuma, a few times, and that is that there was a big machloikis between the tzedoikim and between the prushim with regards to the status of the koyin that was soyer v'sapar. So a very important part of the Parah Aduma process was a koyin would have to take the Parah Aduma and would have to burn it. Why do you burn it? Because you need the efer, you need the ashes, and you can't have ashes unless you burn it. So the shaila was, what status that koyin had to have? The tzedukim held that he had to be tahar, for sure, but he also couldn't be a tfol yayin. He had to be a full-fledged tahar, he wasn't allowed to be a tfol yayin.
The Chachamim held that no, that even a tful yoim was allowed to be the Kohen Asar v'Sapar. And lahoitzi miliban shal tzedoikim, the Chachamim did something that's almost not imaginable. What they did was, is they would take the Kohen Asar v'Sapar, they would be metamehim, they would tell him, go to the mikvah, and while he was a tful yoim, they would say, now go ahead and be Asar v'Sapar. Why? Because they wanted to show the tzedoikim, you're wrong and we're right. That there's no such halacha that a tful yoim is not allowed to do it, and to prove it to you, we're going to go out of our way, we're going to make him. Now, the Chachamim realized that this interesting minhag is going to come with a huge invoice. You know why? Because it's going to look like we don't take Tumah so seriously when it comes to the laws of Tumah v'Tayr. And for that reason, the Chachamim countered this takana with Chumra Agabi Chumra Agabi Chumra Agabi Chumra. And that's why you have so many milas that Chazal were also when it comes to Parah Adumah, where you find Chumras that are not Shaykh b'metzias in the world. Why? Because they felt that being that we made such a kula, we dafka wanted the Kohen Asar v'Sapar to be a tful yoim. So now lahoitzi from that, we need to go ahead and we have to show that we really take Tumah seriously. Don't think we don't take it seriously. It happens to be a tful yoim is allowed to do it. The tzedukim held not. And for whatever reason, Chazal felt they had to make a point, and this is something they had to do. Lahoitzi. Bottom line is, it's that general context that the Gemara is going to present us with the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that the objective of the Gemara is to prove that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer. And again, what part of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer? Because our Mishnah said, Kalin hanigmarim b'tahayra, tzrichin tefillah, but it's mashma only tefillah. You don't have to wait until night. This chumri yaseira that you have means you have to tevela. That's a chumri yaseira. That were chayish for the roi, v'chulu v'chulu. But in terms of waiting until nightfall, that you don't have to do. The Gemara is going to prove the Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold it at. Rabbi Eliezer holds you really would have to wait until nightfall. And if that's the case, the Mishnah says you don't have to wait until nightfall. You don't need Erev Shemesh. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that you do have to wait until nightfall, meaning you do need Erev Shemesh. That's a raya that the Mishnah is the like Rabbi Eliezer. So what's this Mishnah? Somebody had a tube, and he's cutting the tube to use as a vial. He wants to use it to store Afer of the Parah Adum. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yitbo Miyad, that you have to immediately, after you fashion this tube, you have to be toifel. Rabbi Shua says, Yitame, first you should make a tame, and then afterwards, you should be toifel. Now, why would Rabbi Eliezer say Yitfo Miyad? You're making a Shveferis, right? Somebody's working in a factory somewhere, he's making a Shveferis, the purpose of the Shveferis is going to be for Parah Adumah. You have to be toifel. It's Pasha why you have to be toifel. It's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Kelim anigmarim b'tahayra tzrichin tefillah l'kodesh." If you need tefillah l'kodesh, kal v'chaymer for mechatas. How do we know it's a kal v'chaymer? That was the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah said there's five levels when it comes to the laws of tumah v'tahayra. It's chulin ma'aseh sheni truma kachim and then mechatas. So mechatas is more than kachim. So madach to such a halacha for kachim, for sure there's going to be such a halacha for mechatas. So that's easy. Rabbi Yeshua took it a step further. Rabbi Yeshua said, first be metamid and then be toifelit. Why would you be metamid? Oh, we cop where this is going, right? The introduction walked right into this. And that is, oh, because there's a concept of we dafka like working with full yoim when it comes to Parah Adumah, lahoitzi miliban shel tzedoikim. But first, the Gemara is going to clarify this. Who's the one that cut it? Meaning, we're making believe we don't know our Mishnah on Daf Chof on the days that so the Gemara in real time is working through why would Rabbi Eliezer hold you have to be toivel the shveferes? What's the issue? Who's the one that caught it? Meaning, who's the one that fashioned it? Is it a chaver that did it? Why do you have to be toivel it? It's for sure tar. Maybe Am Aretz did it. Behold, Rabbi Yeshua yitamav yitbal. Why would Rabbi Yeshua said go be matamet? Hatami v'koy. It's already Tommy. For Amar Rabbi Bar Sheva, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Loilum the chad chaver. It's talking about that the chaver is the one that caught it. We're worried about the spittle of an Am Aretz that maybe. Maybe he spit on it and he was metamis. The Gemara says, Nafalemus. When did this happen? Is it talking about where he spit on it before it was fashioned? It wasn't a keli yet. It wasn't really the Kabbal Tumah. Elamai, he did it after it was cut already. Mizazarba. We just said it was done b'tahayra. The Chavar is going to make sure that no Am Aretz comes near this. The Gemara says, really, it's talking about where he spit on it earlier. We're concerned that maybe he spit on it before it was a keli. At that point, the Chavar wasn't being careful. Why not? Because he knew it wasn't Roy L'Kabbal Tumah. Now he cut it. Now he made it perfect, precise. Now it's already a fartig a keli. Once it's a keli, it's Mekabal Tumah. If there's still going to be lechos of the Am Aretz on it, that's when you're going to have a problem. That's the Gemara. And that's the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Again, Rabbi Eliezer holds
that once you make the Shveiferis, you have to be Toivlet. Why do you have to be Toivlet? Because we're Chayish for the Roik of an Amar. It's essentially our Mishnah. Kelim HaNigmar and B'tayra Tzrichin Tfilo L'Kaydesh. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not enough to just go ahead and be Toivlet, but first you have to be Metamit, and then afterwards you're going to be Toivlet. So Gemara says, Bishlam the Rabbi Yeshua. I understand Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said be Metamit. And why did he say be Metamit? We know, that was the introduction. It's V'hoitzim Yilibun Shal Tzedakim. And it's very good that you have the hacker between us and the tzedakim. Hainu dekei keru l'tzedakim. The tamin hoyu esakoyin haservice apar loitzim idu b'nshol tzedakim. Because Chazal say that we used to be metamin the koyin haservice apar. Why they do loitzim idu b'nshol tzedakim? I mean, they said b'mur v'shemesh hoyisanasis. Because they held that you need harav shemesh in order to be service apar. And loitzim iliban, we did it tafka with it full year. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have the loitzim iliban shol tzedakim. But here's the punchline. We're getting to it. Elo the Rabbi Eliezer. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, where's the loitzim? The Gemara is asking a kashem Rabbi Eliezer. L'churi, you need the lahitzim ilibin shal tzedakim with this shveiferes. That's what the Gemara holds. You need a hacker. So Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have the hacker. Where do you have the hacker? You were metamit. You finished the keli, put a sheretz on it, and then go ahead and be toivel it. Now use it, bitful yoim, that's the lahitzim ilibin shal tzedakim. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, where do you have the lahitzim ilibin shal tzedakim? So you'll tell me, Rabbi Eliezer holds you don't need it? The Gemara says, no, for sure you need it. Everyone knows this concept. We're going to use a Shveiferis that's a Tful Yoyim. There's going to have to be some Chiddush going on over here. So where is the Tful Yoyim? So the Gemara says, Meirdik, Bishleima, Iyamre Bishleima Ba'amu Bin and Harav Shemesh. Bishleima, if you're going to tell me that ordinarily, Kelim Ani Gemara B'tahayro, where the Halach is, it's Tzrichin, Tfila, Le Kodesh, one of the chumras that the Mishnah mentioned, Chaymer be Kodesh mi be Truma. So if you're going to tell me that when you need tefillah, it's not enough that you have tefillah, but you also need Harav Shemesh, Hainu de Kekeri le Tzedakin, and it's Gevaldik. Because you know what you're going to do? As soon as you finish making the Keli, it's Tomei, you're going to put it in the mikvah, you need Harav Shemesh, you're not going to wait for the Harav Shemesh, it's going to be a Tful Yoyim. So it's Lahitzim Yilibin Shal Tzedakim. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, I don't need to be Metameh to make it into a Tful Yoyim. It's Benkach a Tful Yoyim. Why? Because it's Tameh, it needs Harav Shemesh, I'm not going to wait the Harav Shemesh, thus when I'm using it, it's before the completion of the Torah, it's what's known as a Tful Yoyim, and as a result, I have the Hecker. Eli'i Amr Ba'amu Le'bin and Harav Shemesh. But if you're going to tell me that Ba'amu, you don't need Harav Shemesh, Maya Kerel, it's like a Mikko, then you don't have a Hecker. Because if you never need Harav Shemesh, then it's not a Tful Yoyim. What's a Tful Yoyim? Tful Yoyim means it's Tomei, it went to the Mikvah, it needs to wait until nightfall. So if Ba'atzim, you have to wait until nightfall, and you don't wait, so now I'm using it as a Tful Yoyim, Echab the Hecker. But if La'ilam, I don't have to wait until nightfall, so then by using it before nightfall, I'm just using it when it's already tar. It's not a Tful Yoyim. Tful Yoyim is when I have to wait, and I didn't wait. So if that's the case, where's the Hecker? So the Gemara says, must be, from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer holds, you don't have to make a Tomei, and you have a hacker anyways, it's because ordinarily, Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra, you have to wait until nightfall. If that's the case, our Mishnah said that Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra Tzrichin Tefillah. And the Gemara made a diak. It's the Gemara's diak. Tefillah in Aber Harav Shemesh Lai. And it's Mashmi, you don't need Harav Shemesh. Must be, it's like Rabbi Eliezer. That's the Cheshman. The Mishnah says, Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra Tzrichin Tefillah. Tefillah in Harav Shemesh Lai. It sounds like you don't need Harav Shemesh. From Rabbi Eliezer, by the Shveiferis, by Mechatas, it's mashma that you do need Harav Shemesh. Because Rabbi Eliezer said, as soon as you make the Shveiferis, just be toivel it and use it. Rabbi Yeshua said, that's not enough. You need a hacker. Rabbi Eliezer said, Echab a hacker. You know why I have a hacker? Because it's Tomei anyways. It's Tomei because Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra Tzrichin Tefillah LeKodesh Kal V'Chomer LeMechatas. And ordinarily, I would have to wait until the night. And now I'm not waiting until the night. So it's a Tful Yoyim. So I have my heck. I don't have to be Metamit to create a Mitzias of Tful Yoyim. It's anyways a Tful Yoyim. So Rabbi Yeshua, who held you have to be Metamit to make it a Tful Yoyim, obviously holds you don't need Erev Shemesh. Probably Ezra says you don't have to be Metamit to make it a Tful Yoyim because it's Be'etzim a Tful Yoyim. Obviously holds you do need Erev Shemesh. But the bottom line is, see, Rabbi Ezra holds you need Erev Shemesh. Our mission is before you don't need Erev Shemesh. So the Gemara Masis said, like Rabbi Eliezer, but the Gemara says no. Amar Rav, Rav said it's not Muchach. And what's the Tchilik? The Tchilik is very posh Tchilik. The Gemara is going to go through it, but the concept is very simple. In the Mishnah, it's Mavur, the Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra need Tfila in Harav Shemesh Lai. For Rabbi Eliezer, by Parah Adum, it's Mavur, that he holds Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra need Tfila and need Harav Shemesh. It's a problem, right? No, it's not a problem. What's the Teret? So posh it. Paraduma, Mechatos, is more chomer than Kodesh.
In the five milas in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, it's Chulin Ma'aseh She'ni, Truma, Kodesh, oh, and Mechatas. So Mechatas is more chomer, because Mechatas is more chomer, so there we treat it more stringently. And when it comes to Mechatas, we have an extra chomer that it's not only that Kelim HaNegmar B'Tahayra, that the halacha is going to be that you need tefillah, then you need Harav Shemesh as well. So the Mishnah that says, Kelim HaNegmar B'Tahayra, Tzrichin tefillah L'Kodesh, tefillah in Harav Shemesh, is afilo Rabbi Eliezer. I, Rabbi Eliezer, said you need Harav Shemesh by Mechatas. Yo, Mechatas is more chomer. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. Now we'll go through it inside. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav said it's not a kasha, asur katamish eretz, because Chazal said that when it comes to Mechatas, we're going to be more machmer. And Chazal said that Kelim and Gemara and Betahira are not just Tomei, but we look at it as if it became Tomei because it came in contact with a sheretz. If something comes in contact with a sheretz, it's a Rishon L'Toma. A Rishon L'Toma, if you toivel it, it would require Harav Shemesh. And that's why you need Harav Shemesh. So Kelim and Gemara and Betahira by Kodesh and Kelim and Gemara and Betahira as relates to Parah Aduma is not the same Kelim and Gemara and Betahira. Atzad, Ashovish, Behen is that they're both Tomei. But at the end of the day, the nature of the Toma is going to be different. Kelim and Gemara and Betahira by Kodesh is just a Toma Ba'alma. That Toma requires Tefillah. It's a chumrah and kodesh, but it doesn't require Harav Shemesh. Kelim and Gemara b'tahayra le'inyan parah adum is mechavor. And there, we look at it as if it's a real rishon l'toma. It's as if it came in contact with a sheretz. And therefore, it needs tefillah, and now it doesn't need tefillah. It needs Harav Shemesh as well. But the Gemara says, is that true? You can't tell me that. Kelim and Gemara b'tahayra, we look at as if it's came in contact with a sheretz. Meaning, I'm willing to accept the Gemara says that we look at it as if it's more chumrah than Kelim and Gemara and Tahira B'Kodesh. But I don't like the nusach, that the nusach of the Tumah is, it's Ketameh Sheretz. Because if that's the case, like the Tama Adam, it shouldn't be able to be Metamen Adam, meaning Kelim and Gemara and Tahira that comes in contact with a person should not be able to be Metama the person. The reason is because someone that comes in contact with a sheretz is a Rishon L'Toma. A Rishon L'Toma can't be Metamen Adam. And Allah Matanya, why do we learn in the Braisa? Chaitcha, the person that cut the Shveferis and the person that was toivel the Shveferis himself needs to have tefillah. So if he himself needs tefillah, so I say meres, that there is a problem that he himself became tameh by engaging in the Shveferis. L'chura, if the Shveferis is a Rishon L'Tumah, he doesn't have the ability to be Metama Adam. So the Gemara says, Ve'elo, you have to say the Nusach a little bit differently. Again, same concept. That Kelim and the Gemara and Betayr L'Kodesh is not the same as Kelim and the Gemara and Betayr L'Mechatas. L'Kodesh is just a Tumah Greda. As it relates to Mechatas, it's a more intense Tumah. What's the Tumah? Not Tumah Sheretz. Elo Asur Ketumah Meis. We look at him as if the Kaylee came in contact with a mace. That's the way we look at it. Oh, if it came in contact with a mace, what happens if something comes in contact with a mace? It becomes not a Rishon L'Tumah. Becomes an avatoma, right? A mace is called an avi avoisatoma. A mace is the zeta. It's an avi avoisatoma. The person or thing that comes in contact with the mace is an avatoma. Anything that comes in contact with a tome mace is a rishon l'toma. But the point is, we look at the keli hanigmar lit betahayra for paraduma as if it's a avatoma. And it's what's an example of that? It came in contact with a mace. Oh, if it's an avatoma, that's why it would be metama any person that engaged with. But the Gemara says, Ihachi, if we look at it as if it's an avatoma, tibay hazah shlishi v'shvi, it should require hazah on the third. That means that person that got involved in the Shveferis, if he just came in contact with a Tomei Meis, so now you should have all the halachas of Azor Shlishi Vishvi, treated like real Tomas Meis. Allah Matanya, why do you learn in a Braisa? The person that cut it and was Tavila requires Tefillah, but Tefillah in Azor Shlishi Vishvi. There's no halacha that he needs Azor from the Parah Aduma. Elo, the Gemara says, you're right. Asur Ketomei Meis, we look at it as if it's Tomei Meis, Beshvi Shalai, on the seventh day. So we look at it not as if it came in contact with a Meis, but as if it came in contact with a Meis, Shvi Shaloi, and if it's Shvi Shaloi, meaning we look at it as if it's some form of Tumah Chamura, but not regular Tumah Smeis where you're going to have to go through Shlishi or Shvi, but at the same time, not just like it came in contact with a Tumah Sheretz where all this is a Rishon Tumah, it's Shvi Shaloi where it doesn't need the Shlishi or Shvi. But the Gemara says, is that true? Vatani, we learned to the Braisa, Me'oilam Lechitshu Dava Bepara, that Chazal would never Mechadish anything in Para. What's this kasha? It's again, just coming full circle with the introduction to this portion of the daf. And that is, Chazal made a tremendous kula when it came to Parah Aduma. They dafka worked with Tfol Yoyim. The Kohen HaSoyev is HaParah. Now we see even the Shveferis. It was dafka used as a Tfol Yoyim. To counter that, they made incredible chumras. Here's one, right? This chumra is up there. Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahayra for Parah Aduma. We're going to look at it as if it's Tomei Meis B'Shvi Shalai. Right? All these different chumras. But Abaye said that we have a Messiah. it's a braisa. May oilam loichitshu davar bepara. Chazal never made stuff up. That not. So here you're going to go ahead. You had a keli that was nigra b'tahira. The worst thing that could have happened to it is that an amaretz might have spit at it. Therefore, we look at it as if it's tamei mace. It can't be. Amar Abaya. Abaya says no. You're misquoting that braisa, misrepresenting the braisa. It's true we have a braisa that says, me'olam le'chitru dovid b'par. You know what that means? It means, shalei amru kardam mitame moshe. What they meant to say was, for example, like an axe or a hammer can't be tamei tumas moshe. That's what they meant to say. They meant to say that something that's not mekabel tumah can't suddenly be mekabel tumah. But they never said that something that is mekabel tumah and became tamei because of the chashash, that we can't go ahead and we can't supercharge what that tumah is going to be. So for us to go ahead and say that the keli enigma b'tahira has a din of something that came in contact with tamei meis, that we could do. Ayetz and chiddish. Rashi's lashon is in lecha chiddush gadol mizeh. It's true. It is a tremendous chiddush. But that type of chiddush we could do. So what chiddush can't we do? We can't take something that be'etzim is not mekabel tumah and us decide on our own that we want to treat it as if it's a mekabel tumah. What was the Gemara's example? The example is you can't take a cord, you can't take an axe and create a tumas moishev. Tumas moishev is a zav that sits on something becomes tumah. But as the Gemara is about to say, the only time a zav is metamah is something that he sits on is if it's something that the derech is that people usually sit on. But if it's not something that the people usually sit on, he doesn't have to do it. So people don't usually sit on a kardam, right? That's a good extreme example of something that a person probably won't sit on. And as a result, that's the way the Gemara is making the point. In the Tanya, what's the makar to this? If someone's sitting on a keli, a zav, that's, it says in the Torah, that if somebody sits on a keli that the zav sat on, he's going to become tami. So Gemara says, yachol kofa zav, yashavala. That's if someone takes a barrel, he flips it over, and he sat on it. Like the zav sat on it, and or tirkav, or he took a smaller barrel and he said, "Yoshua, you would think it's Tommy Thomas Medrash, Tommy Levi, Yoshua, all of Asher Yoshua, all of Yotami, Misha, Miyuchel, Yeshiva, only a kli that people usually sit on. Yotzezeh, Sha'omrim, these are the famous words, Amoid Venasa Melachteinu. That any time a person sitting on something, but if somebody needs it to say, sir, do you mind standing up? I need that barrel, right? It's not meant, I'll find you a chair, but this I need. So any time there's a concern that something like that would happen, it's not the derech for the zav to sit on. That's when you have the halach, it's not Tommy Thomas Medrash. But the point that the Gemara is saying is, Avadig of this, it's a grois chiddush to say that Keli Anigma B'tahira, all of a sudden we should treat it like some real chumri yaseira, some more new made up tumah. It's a chiddush gadol, Rashi. Ein lecha chiddush gadol mizeh. And even though it's true, Chazal said that with all the chumras in Parah Aduma, loy amru, they never said a chiddush in Parah. What it means they never said a chiddush is they never said something that's not mekabel tumah, should be mekabel tumah. So when all the chumras, that they never did. They never said something not mekabel tumah. But within the world of things that are mekabel tumah, sometimes we pile on chumras. Bottom line is, just to make a sikum on this last part, a very, very last part of the daf, is the Mishnah, when it went through the chumras of Kachim over Truma, said, Kalim and Nigmarim Bitahira, Srichin Tila Lakaidish Avaloyla Truma. You have a Kali, it was Nigmar Bitahira. Chaber was working on it. Mamish, he's making sure no Tuma gets near it. He just finished it. You want to use it for Kachim? Toivel it. Can't use it. You have to toivel. But it's only true for Kachim. It's not going to be true for Truma. What's the reason for this? And why would this be an issue for Truma? If it was Nigmar B'tahira, what's the problem? The concern is a Chash Rochuk. We're concerned that before it was Nigmar, before it was Royal the Kabbal Tumah, maybe an Amma Aretz was busy with it, and the Chaber didn't care then. The reason he didn't care then is because he knew it's not the Kabbal Tumah anyways. He may have spit on it. An Amma Aretz is Tameh. The spittle of the Amma Aretz is also Tameh. If the spittle is still on this Keli, when the Keli is completed, now the Keli is going to become Tameh. Because even though it's landed before it was completed, aber it's nachalz darten now that it was completed. As a result, the keli is going to be tamei. That's what we're worried about. Obviously, it's a chashash rachuk. We're worried about it for kachim. We're not worried about it for truma. What emerged from the Gemara is that this concern that Chazal had for kachim, they had for paradum as well. Doesn't shock us, because we know the Mishnah Yudches Amid Beis, that paradum in the world of tumah v'tahira is even more chamer than its kachim. What did shock us maybe a little bit is the extent to which Chazal took this tumah, that a keli enigma b'tahira, I mean, let's just chazer over the halacha. Not only is it tami, does it require tefillah, but even the person that cut the keli, that chaver, that shiny yid, he has to go to the mikveh, and he needs to be toivel himself, because the coming in contact with it is tumah as well. And what you see from there is Chazal didn't just give it the status of tumah, but Chazal took it more seriously. They even said that it's going to have the ability to convey tumah onto someone that comes, meaning they viewed it as an avatoma. That's really what it means in short. What kind of avatoma? So the Gemara said, like a tamei meis b'yom shvi'i shloi. But the point is, as an avatul. And by the way, the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would even need Harif Shemesh. You wouldn't be able to use it right away. You would need Harif Shemesh. And that's why they didn't have to be metama the shveferis that they had created to use for the eif of the par aduma, lahaytzim ilibin shal tzadaykim. Because all they did was they finished making it, they toiveled it and used it, and that in of itself was lahaytzim ilibin shal tzadaykim. Because at that point, really, all it was already a full yayim. And the maskana of the Gemara said that even though it thought the Mishnah couldn't shtim with Rabbi Eliezer, really it could shtim with Rabbi Eliezer XL. So just to end, again, these are hard daffin, some of the hardest daffin in Shas, with, on a lighter note, a much lighter note, and that is, we learned the Gemara yesterday, so tucked away, Chazal gave us one Dvar Agada, Poshit, so we can have some raid bites in these Gemaras. And the Gemara mentioned Daf Chapez on the days, it was a very, very hard Gemara. The Gemara was discussing the halacha that Kli Cheres, Asher Tzomit Pasol Olav, it's Matzel Mepnei Atoma. And there was Machlois in Bishayim Besol, whether it's Matzel from all Toma, or it's only Matzel from some Toma. Besol said it's Matzel from all Toma. Bishayim said no, it's Matzel from Oichlin, Mashkin, and from Kli Cheres. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua heard Beishamai Shita, and he said, Boishni Medevrechem Beishamai. He said, hey, I'm so embarrassed for you, Beishamai. I can't believe you would have said something like this. It's literally Mechusar Avana. I'm partially embarrassed. And he went on to explain in dramatic form why he thought that Beishamai's position was a position as Bemegzich Shemin from them. And the Gemara says there was a Talmud, Mitalmidei Beishamai, that heard what the great Rabbi Yeshua said. And Amalei turns to Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Rebbe, I'm lucha taimish al Beishamai. Do you give me rishos to please try to explain, make an attempt to tell you what Beishamai meant? Amalei Amar, he told him, yeah. And he went and methodically and systematically asked Rabbi Shua questions, Rabbi Shua answered him, and he explained to him, betuv tam, what Beishamai said. He concluded, v'zeu taimun shal Beishamai, said, Rebbe, I think this is what Beishamai meant. The Gemara says, miyat, as soon as Rabbi Shua heard that, halach Rabbi Shua went, v'nishtatech al kivrei Beishamai, he went to the Beis HaChayim of Beishamai, and he literally, he lied down there. Omar, he said, na nesu lechem asris Beishamai, I sinned towards you, I spoke inappropriately. And then he said, umas tumesh alechem kach, madach the halach is that you said that at first glance are very hard to understand, they seem very sosom. You see how much brilliance there is. Mefurosh es alachas kama v'kama, I can only imagine how much brilliance there must be in the halachas that seem at first glance to make more sense. Amru, it is said, Kol Yom of Hushkur Shinim Mnei Tani Yosef. Rabbi Yeshua took this story so seriously, it literally changed his life. And from that point moving forward, Rabbi Yeshua spent the rest of his life betaynis atcha Hushkur Shinim until his teeth, the Dukei Sofim says, his face, literally, it turned black. This is the Gemara with Rabbi Yeshua. The Chidah, in his Pesach Inayim, on this Gemara says that if you learn this Gemara and really pay attention to what happened, there's a tremendous Musa Haskell. He says, Mikan yesh lumoid kama tzarech adam ledakdek bedvarov. You see from here how careful a person has to be with the way he talks when he's handling and learning. He says, sometimes people, they hear a kasha and they rip the kasha into shreds, has no pshat, it makes no sense, and they mamish get all excited and dramatic. Says the chidok, it's achdik. Do it, but with great caution. It's very, very dangerous. He says, because look at Rabbi Yeshua, his lashon is, who was Aryeh DeBei Eloi. Think about who Rabbi Yeshua was. And Rabbi Yeshua said something. He said, Boishni Midevrechem Beishamai. And he chapped afterwards, number one, that he was wrong. But for Oig, he had such charata for the way he spoke about Beishamai that he literally spent the rest of his life betainus. Amru olav shnekol yom of hushchur shinim ne tani yosef. So he says, kal v'chomer us that we're koitzer adas, we certainly don't have the credentials to talk the way Rabbi Yeshua did. If we're going to start saying things like this, can you imagine what kind of kapara, what kind of tikkun we're going to need? So the Chidah said that sometimes in the heat of the argument, people say things. And that's really what Rabbi Yeshua did. It was in the context of real intense learning, some of the hardest Gemaras ever. And he's sitting over there, boishim midevrechem v'shamay, abu was a tiny gedoyla. And you see Rabbi Yeshua took it very, very, very seriously. So he says, kal v'chomer ben benoish kal v'chomer, how careful we need to be. That's what the Chidah says. It goes on, he's very mayrich. At the end he says that I once said a pshat, that the Mishnah says, v'al toimar dover she'efshol l'shmaya, she'soifo li'shamer. Right, don't say that no one's, eventually everything is going to be heard. So says the Chidah, da'atana li'manu musar haskel. The Tana is coming to tell us a musar haskel. Shal yigzar oimer hama'ayin loimer. Sometimes a person sees a kasha, and his initial reaction is, this kasha? This is a dover she'efshol l'shmaya.
I can't even hear it. He says, don't say that. You know why? Shesofa liyishama. Because you're going to find out that eventually, one day, you're going to understand the kasha. You're going to realize the kasha was a much better kasha than you thought. You should be careful. And he says, intellectually, al toimar dova shi efshel shmaya shesofa liyishama. This is the chida right here in the Sefer Pesach Inayim, Mesechtes Chagiga, Tavcha Beis Amibes. The truth is, the chida talked about this inyan in many, many of his svarim. In the Shema Gedolim, in his Mareches Sforim, he talks about it in Mareches Dalid, he talks about it in Mareches Hey. In Mareches Dalid, he talks about a Sefer that's called Divrei Novoi. That's the name of the Sefer. And he brings a Maisa that happened with the Arachayim HaKadosh, that in his time there was a Yid that said something not nice about this Sefer. And what the person had a dream, and in the dream they came to him and they wanted to kill him, and they told him, unless you ask Mechila from the Mechaba Sefer, you're going to be in big trouble. And he asked Mechila, and that's how he was saved. In Mareches Hey, he talks again about an obscure Sefer, a Sefer called Heichal Kodesh. And there too, he brings a Michtav. He said that he saw a letter that there was once somebody that said something not nice about this Sefer. And he said that he too fell asleep, and in the dream they told him that his life is in danger and that he better go ahead and he better ask this Mechabes Sfarim Mechila. So he says, you see, there's an idea. This is what the Chida is talking about. Mereches Sfarim. Right, Mereches Sfarim of the Chida, it's like a bibliography. He's just bringing different Sfarim that were written. He talks a little bit about the Mechaber, who they were. And twice he brings such a Maisa that he heard a story that somebody said something about this Mechabes Sefer, and it was very, very terrible. In Mereches Hey, it's Ois Nun Hey, by the way. In Mereches Hey, when he talks about the Sefer, Heichal Kodesh, so there he's Mayrech. And he goes on to a whole Arichos. And he says, Ayin Chagiga Dav Chav Beis Amid Beis. V'ayin Mashach Kosafti B'Sifri Pesach Inayim. You see the Maisa with Rabbi Shua. And the Musa Haskel that I said. V'al Toimer Dover. And a person shouldn't say that this is a Dover She'ef Shul Shema Yasher Soifa Lishameh. And he says the whole Arichos that he said in Sefer Pesach Inayim. And then he concludes with the following. He says, the Shamati, I heard a story that something similar happened to the Goyin HaMafursim Rabbeinu Heschel. I heard something like this happened with the Rebbe Reb Heschel, who once said something about the Marsha, and because of that, also something in these inyanim. So he says, these are the biggest tzaddikim in the world, and if for them there was an issue by saying something like this, certainly we need to be more careful. So what's this Maisa that the Chida heard about the Rebbe Reb Heschel with the Marsha? He doesn't tell us. So he says very, very little in Shei Magdalen. But the Chida in another one of his Sfarim told over the story in great length, and that's in the Sefer Magal Toiv. So the Sefer Magal Toiv, which by the way was just recently reprinted twice, but regardless, had been out of print for many, many decades. But the Sefer Magal Toiv was a Sefer that was written by the Chida. It was a diary. So the Chida we know was a Shadar. He was a Shluch Derabbanon. He was sent from Eretz Yisrael to go to Europe to raise money to bring back to Eretz Yisrael. And he actually kept a diary. And the diary was printed by the Chida himself. And the Sefer was called Magal Toiv. And Magal Toiv, he talks about different people that he met during this Tkufa that he was traveling. So this story takes place when the Chida was in Amsterdam. And it happened Yoim Gimel L'Seder Shmini. Said it was Yoim Gimel L'Seder Shmini. He tells the story that he went to be Menachem Avol somebody. And when he was there, he met a Yid, Rab Hersh Mibolchov. And Rav Hersh Mibolchov told him the following. He was talking to him about the Rebbe Reb Heschel. That's what he was talking about. He was telling him maises about the Rebbe Reb Heschel. So he said it was the year Tach. The year Tach, you know when that was. Tach v'tat. It was the year 1648. So it was the year Tach. Halach leVienna. The Rebbe Reb Heschel went to Vienna. V'hayisham of Bezdin Maharash. The of Bezdin was the Maharash. He was the Baal Vavei HaMutim. That's who he was. He was the son of the Shlo HaKadosh. V'lai Hechshiv Kol Kach LaRav Reb Heschel. And the Rebbe Reb Heschel came into Vienna. So the Rav, the Maharash, he didn't know who the Rebbe Reb Heschel was, and he didn't give him so much kavod. Now, Rav Heschel shom imenu pirish dibur taisvis. Rav Heschel went over to him. He said, "Can I talk to you in learning?" Now, the Rebbe Reb Heschel, by the way, was the Rebbe of the Shach, right? Rebbe Reb Heschel was legendary. So he goes over to the city. He says, "Can I ask you a kasha?" He says, "Sure." He says, "So he asked him a kasha on the taisvis." So he says he's going to look into it, right? This yid who he didn't know, who he wasn't being mechaber, he didn't know who he was. Asked him a bomba kasha, and he said he's going to get back to him. V'ayin, and he was bima ayin v'loy matza yadav, and he couldn't give a teretz. V'hisana, it's not clear why, but he fasted. V'ubacha, and he cried. Until his own father came to him in a dream, the Shlach Kodesh. He told him, this is the Pshat on Toisvis. And then he told him that that Yid that asked you this Kasha on Toisvis, he says, make sure you give him proper Kovid. He
says, you want to know who just asked you a kasha on Tosfos? Rabbeinu Tam just asked you a kasha on Tosfos. That's why it was a good kasha. And he says, that's why I had to come, mamash, from the other world to come tell you upshot. But he says, that yid that just walked into your base medrash, you don't know who he is. But I'm telling you, this the Shlok Kodesh is megal himself in a chol. This is what the Chidah says. This is what this yid, Rav Hirsch Bolchov, told him. Told him over this mice that he heard b'shem Magidei HaEmes. He says, I heard this from a true source, that this was the mice of Shoy, and he told him that the Rebbe of Heshmel has the neshama of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Gemara says, V'achaka, and the Gemara. So the Chidah, in his Magal Toiv, says, V'achach sholach harab marash, Rav Heshmel. So when he had this dream, he woke up in the morning, V'yikatz mishnasoy. So right away he calls him, She'yavim b'beis haknesset shaloi, V'osnoloi kovid, and he gave him tremendous kovid, V'amaloi, and he told him, Pirish ha-toisvis, and he said, V'yatayim shan ha-toisvis. It's a good kasha. Oh, but doesn't the Mishnah? He's talking to Rabbeinu Tam. He's telling him Shadon Toises. V'nishpa Rav Heschel b'Rabim, and Rav Heschel heard the teretz, and Rav Heschel got up b'Rabim, and he swore she'ein zeh ki'im she'amru lo'im ha'shamayim. This is what he said. Ach glebnish that you were able to come up with this pshat by yourself. He said, it's poshit to me. It's poshit that you must have gotten this mishamayim. The Chidah says, again, this is Yom Gimel, Seyde Shmini. He went to be Menachem Avil, and he meets this Yid, Rav Hirsch Bolchov, and he's telling him maises about the Rebbe Rav Heschel. He says, I'm going to tell you another story that I heard about Rav Heschel. Rav Heschel was, he got up, he was saying over a halacha, and he saw that the Marsha commented on this, probably Tosfos, maybe Rabbeinu Tam, that he was learning, and he didn't like what the Marsha said. And again, I'm just reading from the Chidah. V'kas, he got angry. V'zorak ha'seif la'aretz, and he threw the Marsha on the ground. V'yemitztair, and he got very upset. Eich oimrim ala Marsha gedulois ve'echta. This was maybe the first time he had ever seen a Marsha, and he wasn't masking what the Marsha said. And this is the way he reacted. And he had tzar. He said the Marsha's Torah was so niskabel. V'nizdamen sham shabah bacher echad. There was a bacher there. And he said, Rebbe, can I talk to you in learning? So he said, sure. So he starts handling with him in learning. And he said, maybe this is what the Marsha means. Maybe this is what the Marsha meant. And when Rebbe Heschel heard what the bacher said, he chapped the kids right. This is pshat in the Marsha, and the Marsha said, emes lamitoy, and the Rebbe of Heschel chapped that he was an oymer al-soif taitoy shalom Marsha. Finishma, and again he made a shvua. He swore shaloy l'chabre sefer. He made a shvua that he's never going to write a sefer. Me'acha sha'afilu hu lo'y kivim b'divri Marsha. He says, number one, I couldn't even be oymer al-soif taitoy shalom Marsha. So how am I going to go ahead now and write svarim? Vu haltich. How am I going to write svarim? And besides, what he said, v'zilzul boy, being that I was mezalzel in the Marsha, I hold that if I ever write a sefer, kach yasa l'chibura. That's what they're going to do to my svarim as well. And he said, I'm not writing a sefer. He said, it's poshut to me that I'm going to be punished, midah keneged midah. That if this is what I did to the Marsha sefer, there's no way that people are going to be mechabed my svarim properly. And that's why he made a shvua. And that's why the Rebbe, we have from the Rebbe of Heschel, we have the Chanukah Satoir. But you know who the Rebbe, and Zvertlich for the most part. You know, he was the Shach's Rebbe. It's coming. He was the Shach's Rebbe, and we don't have much from him. You know why? This is the rest of the story. Because he made a shvua. Because he held he was mezazel. He was pagay in the covenant of the Masha. Oit Siper. He goes on and he says more things about the Shach's relationship with the Rebbe of Heschel and how the Shach learned his Torah from the Rebbe of Heschel. And listen to what he says at that. I'm going to skip a little bit. He said, Oit Siper Shach Shach Hoyoidei Hashem HaKoisev. The Shach knew how to tap into the Shemus HaKoidish that know how to write. Well, we've spoken about this. The Rosh and then the Vari Psachim. Writing be hashpas kolmes the chsam soifer and kufzadik zayin kufzadik ches with Rav Nosson Adler. So he said that this yid Rav Hirsch Bolchov told me, this is the Chidah talking, that the Shach knew how to use the Shema Koisev. V'uayim medaber, the Shach would talk the kolmes koisev meyelov, and the feder, the kolmes would write by itself. Umishum hachi kasav kam svarim. He says that's why he was able to write so many svarim. How was he physically able to write so many svarim? He did it by hashpas kolmes. V'kolz eshama megaoinim kshoy divrei emes. He says he heard this from Ga'oinim, Emes to Ga'oinim, people that didn't lie. They didn't just say things. And then he said, Shamati, I also heard, Shashach Hoyle Shema Metzia. He had a Shema Metzia. It sounds like he had a Shem where he was able to find everything that he needed. Limtsoi Tekef Habakias.
So like this, if there was ever a sefer that he needed, he knew how to use one of the shemes, and he was able to find the Bekiyas. Ad kan, dvar v'akdoshim shal achida, in a sefer magal toy. But this is the story that the chida was referencing in the shema agdoilam. The story that he was referring to was with the Rebbe Reb Heschel, and that the Rebbe Reb Heschel once had a story with the Marsha, until a bacher came to him, and the bacher explained to him what the Marsha means, and because of that, the Rebbe Reb Heschel made a shvur that he's never going to write a sefer, because he felt that if this is the way he treated the sefer, the Marsha, there's no way that they're going to end up treating his farm any differently. The kachava, and this is the story. This is the story with the Rebbe Reb Heschel. But I was just thinking, to be Messiah, Biki Toiv. We know that Midah Toiv is Merubah Midas Peronius. So when it comes to Midas Peronius, Rabbi Yeshua said, Boishni Midavrechem Beishamai. And look at what happened. He literally spent the rest of his life betaynus. And the stories that the Chida brings in Shema Gedolim, Uberoisham, the Maisa with the Rebbe of Heschel, that somebody was mezalzel a little bit in one of the Niftarim and in the Torah of the Tzadikim, and it's something that you have to be very careful of. It's mamish, it's a dogger of Chamira Sakanta Meisura. So, Luchura, if this is true, when it comes to speaking negatively, Kavachayim in the reverse, if somebody is fakert, if someone is Meshabeach, and somebody, instead of putting down Torah from Tzadikim, to the contrary, he tries to understand it and to explain it, and to be Miyashiv Kashas that people asked on it, you can imagine what a schus that is. And really, there's one very, very important Maram Makim for this, and that is the Pele Yoyetz. The Pele Yoyetz is in Ois Dalet, it's under Doivev Sifsei Yeshenim. We'll just read a few excerpts. Pirshu Rabbi Seinu Zecherinu Levracha. Shekol Tamad Chacham Sh'imid V'ar Toyim Mishmoy B'Ayil Mazeh. Any Tamad Chacham that people say over Toyim from Ayil Mazeh, Sifsois of Doivevois B'Kefer. His lips move in the Kefer. We know that. But what we sometimes forget is that V'yesh Lo Yehanna, that Tzadik has Hanna, V'nachas Ruach, and pleasure, K'nishoyse Yayin Kunditoin, K'ma Sh'om Rabbi Yishalmi D'Shkolim. So he says the Peliyoyetz. It's for that reason. If a person has an opportunity to say over Torah from a tzaddik, he should realize that zecheset shel emes sheyuchal adam lasleis ematzadikim l'ktoishim asher ba'aretz chelkam b'chayim l'umoy divreim uschusam teilamagim etzin aleim. And if a person is going to do that, he's going to have gevaldig uschusam. And then he brings a few stories of his own. He says ukvar kosa b'svarim. Peliyoyetz says he saw in svarim shapam machas hoyes shmat. There was once a gzeira shmat. V'niglo mayreinu harav ramoisha alshech zecherinu levracha. The alshech revealed himself. Behuckets, right? He revealed himself. And he saved one person from this gzera. And the reason was because this person used to always learn alshach, and because he always learned alshach, so the alshach came to save him. And then he says, look at the Sefer Magid Misharim. So what was the Sefer Magid Misharim? That's the Sefer that the Beis Yosef wrote based on the Torah that the Magid, who he used to learn with, taught him. Shegilu l'maram Beis Yosef z'chreinu l'vracha. That the Magid told the Beis Yosef, sha'arambam hoya melitz badei b'shamayim mima'al. That the Rambam was literally lobbying, and he was being melitz for the Beis Yosef and Shemayim, al shetarach l'foresh u'l'toretz dvarav. Because the Beis Yosef, you know, always passed things like the Rambam. And because he dedicated his life to understanding the Rambam, since for that reason, said the Magid to the Beis Yosef, you should know that the Rambam has tremendous hana in Shemayim. U'be'ez pikudasai. And the Magid told the Beis Yosef that when the time is going to come, after 120, hayunafik la'ape, the Rambam is going to come greet you. U'kvar huva b'akdoma sefer Magine Shloima. And then he says it's brought down in the akdoma to the sefer Magine Shloima. So who is the Magine Shloima? The Magine Shloima was the first Pnei Yeshua. Not the Pnei Yeshua, but the Pnei Yeshua Zayda, right? The Pnei Yeshua Zayda, the Shalos of Truvah's Pnei Yeshua, was also known as the Magine Shloima. And he wrote a sefer called Magine Shloima, meaning protecting Shloima, as in Rab Shloima Yitzchaki, as in Rashi HaKadosh. So he wrote a sefer to answer all the kashas that Tosa asks on Rashi. And it's brought down in the Hakdomah to sefer Magine Shloima, that Al Shatarach the Taritz Dibre Rashi Mikushis HaTosfiz Zocha Shebeshas Ptirosei Bar Rashi L'Avoisa. At the time of his Ptiro, he was Snoicha that Rashi came to Baglate him, he came to greet him. So says the Pele Yoyetz, you see from these stories, and it's Poshit, that when it's Sifsoisa Dovvois Bekever, it's not just that the
tzaddik is learning in the next world. But the tzaddik actually has a noah, he has a nachas ruach, and the tzaddik is makir toiv. And because he's makir toiv, it's a tremendous, tremendous chos. So listen to how he fears always. V'toiv shiyeh loy mei b'chol ha-svarim. A person should therefore try to learn a lot of different svarim, because you're going to collect more schosim. V'choiv zu b'yesem mutelas ayoytze chalotz of shal mechaber sefer. And he says this obligation is particularly incumbent on the enochel of a mechaber sefer. To learn the Torah from the Zaydis, and to try to answer and explain what the Zaydis might have meant. It's the appropriate thing. A person should be mechabed his elder and his Zaydis. And if a person's going to do that, they're going to have rachmanis on him. And they're going to be melech toiv kirachim of abonim. They're going to have a bezunder kirachim of abonim. That's what Paliyot says. There's going to be a bezunder kirachim of abonim. If a person does it for his own zaydis, it's a tremendous, tremendous schus for him and for his mishpacha. As I state in Paliyot. And then he writes in his parentheses, and along with this, v'ayim b'akdom ha-sefer chesed l'avram, l'mayreinu harav rab Avram Azulai. So the Sefer Chesed l'Avram was written by Rab Avram Azulai. Rab Avram Azulai was a very, very famous Mekovel. He was also the Chida's grandfather. So he says, I am in the Hakdama. So I'd rather have the Sefer Chesed l'Avram. And I went through the Hakdama. It was very hard to understand. And then in the last sentence of the Hakdama, I got what the Paliyot meant. I made it to the end. And that's mamish what he was referring to. If you look in the very, very last sentence, he says, V'ani terem akala l'daber. He says, before I finish my Hakdama, and before I start the beginning of this Sefer, he says, I want you to know why I refer to my Sefer Chesed l'Avram. He said, I called it Chesed l'Avram l'shtei sibois for two reasons. He said, the first reason is, he says, because he told a story where he was saved from a dever and from a magefa, from a pandemic, and he wanted to give shvach v'idot HaKadosh Baruch for the fact that he was saved, and that's why he named the Sefer Chesed l'Avram. But he said, I did it for another Sefer, and for another reason. And I did it because I want people to know that any person that's going to learn my Sefer, I'm going to view it as a tremendous chesed for my neshama. And that's why I'm calling the Sefer Chesed l'Avram. The Mechaber was Rabbi Avram Azulai, the great Mekubal, the Zayda of the Chidah. And he said, I'm calling my Sefer Chesed l'Avram, because if you want to do chesed with my neshama, this is the way you can do chesed with me. I want that it should be Sifsoisai Daivavais Bekever. And the way it will be Sifsoisai Daivavais Bekever is by learning from this Sefer. Maybe this is why the Chidah was so sensitive to this idea. Chidah and Pesach Inayim, the Chidah and Shem Magdoilim, Marech Esfarim, Dalit and Hey. And he talks about it in his Magal Toiv. It's in the Chuvas of the Chidah. It's everywhere in the Sfarim of the Chidah. You know where he learned this from? His own Zayda. He learned this from his own Zayda. The Zayda, the Chesed l'Avram. Rabbi Avram Azulai, he called the Sefer Chesed l'Avram because he was telling the world, you want to do Chesed with me, this is the Chesed. You learn Torah from the Tzaddikim, you're mistabik to the Neshama of the Tzaddikim, you're mitaritz the Torah of the Tzaddikim. It's an incredible opportunity to have a dveikus with Tzaddikim and to really have a schus that the Tzaddik should be melitz toiv on behalf of all those that learn his Torah.